Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. We're excited to be with you and trust the Lord will use the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I have the privilege of hosting the program as the pastor of Brookside Baptist Church here in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And my co-host, Dr. Les Olalah, who normally is with us and will be with us again here in the next number of broadcasts, is away on a ministry trip. And so in his place this broadcast, we have two guests, and we were talking with them in our last program. Mr. Pete Weary serves as the Dean of Students here at Northland and has been involved as a youth pastor or in some capacity of youth ministry for the last 20 years. Also in the studio this morning is a guest with whom most of you are familiar. We've had him on before, Dr. Wynn Kimbrough, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Kingsford, Michigan, and also has been working here as the Vice President for Student Affairs for almost 20 years at Northland. And so, man, it's good to have you back on the program. And I want to jump right back in to where we were, because we were in the middle of a very spirited discussion on, really, how do we set the discipleship atmosphere in our families? Pete, your experience as a coach launched us into an interesting discussion on air that we actually continued off the air a little bit, and I think maybe some of the things we were saying off the air might be of great interest to some of our hearers, especially those men who are fathers and who have children that are in the age groups that we're talking about. So when you were talking about the importance of a coach-like role that a dad plays and the many different opportunities, and maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, I was doing that because Pete is a coach and has done that, and I've seen the impact that a coach has on my own children. And I think that I never realized that, since I'm very non-athletic. I never realized that until I had children who are athletic. And then to see that a coach can have, they are a good role model. They are there in crisis situations. They have sometimes private times with the kids on the team in individual, maybe dealing with a particular area. Sometimes it is a problem area. But I think that the coach can just bring out some things sometimes that makes a difference. So I was saying how much I appreciate that. But from a parenting level, there was a book that impacted me significantly called, the title of the book was Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. And after I watched the video series and read the book, I thought, no, this book should not be called Shepherding a Child's Heart. It should be called Shepherding a Parent's Heart, because what I've realized is that in a lot of ways, I am involved in the spiritual growth process with my children, and you don't get some kind of instant parenting manual that, you know, we
all kind of wish for one, don't
yeah, we?
Yeah,
do.
They're not out there.
Right.
And you've looked.
Yeah.
I've read some funny ones.
Yeah. Oh. But we use the Bible, but it's not like a manual, you know, go to page or to subject or something like that. But the reason I say shepherding a child's heart is because I feel like that God continues to use my children as sometimes a revealer of things in my own life, and then we start working in those areas, and I have to work on those areas. And so we're all in process.
Wynn, let me just let our listeners know that the book you referred to, Shepherding a Child's Heart, the author again?
It is Ted Tripp. It's either Ted Tripp or Paul Tripp.
I think
okay.
It's Ted.
They're
yes.
Brothers, and they've got – there's another one called Age of Opportunity.
Which is for teenagers, is that right?
Let
me let our listeners know where they can pick up a copy of either of those books. And the radio station that you're listening to, VCY, has a wonderful bookstore. And I know that they have many, many good resources there, but I'm sure that they carry both of these books. And if they don't have them in stock – I'm sure they would know how to get a copy of them for you. And let me just encourage you, both of these books, especially the one, Shepherding a Child's Heart, are incredible, and would be valuable resources, and certainly books I think you would want to read on this topic. Pete, let me ask you, as a youth pastor, you've spent your life helping parents raise their children. Tell me, from your perspective, what is the role of a youth pastor in all of this?
Well, the youth pastor, first of all, can't usurp the parent in any way. That's the first thing. I think the youth pastor needs to understand that his responsibility is to support the parents. And that in reality, there were many times that my communication wasn't with the young person. It was more with the parent and how to help them to help their young person grow in Christ. So that would be the biggest thing, I would say, because there's often sometimes where a youth pastor becomes the father figure. And what you've really done is you've not discipled in any way that you need to. You really need to be helping the dad, because that relationship is the key, the father-son relationship. So that would be the first thing I would do. Second thing in regards to parenting, you know, helping parents and helping the relationship there is I would constantly remind the young people, well, have you talked to your parents about this? Now, that's kind of funny. I mean, it's just the other angle. But it's constantly getting them to have dialogue. And be honest with you, in this busy world today, that's not always easy. And if you were to ask me the number one thing in regards to parenting, it still comes down to time. And there used to be this statement, well, we got to make quality time, not quantity time. And there's some truth to that, but really there are times my son needs me.
You got to have both.
It's got to be there. And I can remember my son coming in to talk to me one time at 11 at night. And when I was younger, 11 o'clock was early. It's not early anymore. And I remember thinking, he needs me now. And so that's what we did. You know, we talked. I didn't, at that point, be honest with you, I didn't feel like talking to him. I felt like sleeping. Mm-hmm. But he needed me right then. And that was one of the most precious times we've ever had.
So availability is, in your mind, a key to all of this process?
Oh, as a parent, as a youth pastor, as a coach, discipleship is making yourself available to people. And if we're going to be good parents, that's what we really are, we're discipling. I feel like my number one responsibility is to disciple my wife. My next responsibility are my boys. And then it goes from there, other opportunities. But I don't want somebody else to have that responsibility. God gave them to me.
See, discipleship, I think, is there's intentional and unintentional.
Yeah.
You know, where there is the sitting down and going through certain things. You know, I mean, it is the family devotions or with young people sitting down and going through a specific topic that's an area of their life. And then there's the unintentional, like Pete was just saying, where they're in the bedroom and there's a crisis in their mind, but for them it's a crisis or an event or a circumstance or something happened at school.
I just want to talk to you.
Right. And so to me, there's the unintentional. That does go back to Deuteronomy where it talks about looking at all of the situations when remembering God when we go to bed, when we walk by the ways, Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think, verse 5. But nonetheless, where we are using all the situations in life as at that point becomes more the teaching opportunity.
Yeah, the application of Deuteronomy 6 to all of life, all of the time, in all of your ways, and in all of the places that you find yourself. Let's talk for a minute about some of the intentional discipleship opportunities. What, as a dad, have you found to be helpful, intentional discipleship, things that you actually design into your family? Maybe both of you could address that a little bit. Help some of our men who maybe are saying, well, what are some things I can do to help disciple my son?
There are two things that right now run through my mind. First of all, my son and I have done a number of devotional books together. I can remember, I hope that all those listening will get a good chuckle out of this because I did it. I can remember taking a discipleship book and going through it with my son, who at the time was 12, and it probably should have been for somebody that was 16. But I was so eager to do it, and in all reality, once again, I was the one discipled. I learned, well, this is probably over his head. But we still do different discipleship books. There are a number out there that I've had the privilege to do, Experiencing God by Blackaby, a couple others, Becoming God's Friend. And those
so do you do that every day? Do you do that every
What I did is I would have him do it for his devotions. I would do it for mine, and then we'd just discuss it. You know, and sometimes, like I said, in this world, as busy as we are, it wasn't always we sat at the kitchen table. I'd get in the car and I'd say, so what'd you get out of your reading today? And he'd say, well, this. And then I'd sometimes have to be the dentist and say, well, do you get anything else? And he's 13, 14. He's not even sure how to have a spiritual conversation, you know. And
which is part of the discipleship
process.
That's
what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
And then just last night, my wife and I were discussing something that we're looking to do this summer, and that is have more of an instructional time, probably in the morning because of our schedules. My son's going to be working, starting work at 8. So from 7 to 7:30, we're looking to do something together in an area that he struggles. Mm-hmm. And I know that he'll want this because he doesn't want to struggle. We all don't really want to struggle. We do, but we want to have victory.
All right, so let me toss a real-life scenario at you guys. I'm a dad. To get to my job, I've got to get up at 5. I've got to be out the door by 5:45, and I've got to beat the traffic. I'm in the traffic. I'm working all day long. just to make ends meet, to keep my kid in Christian school, all the rest of it. And I come home at 7, you know, 6 or 7 at night, and he's got his homework, he's got everything else. And so by the time he's done, I'm done, it's 10 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night, he's in bed. What are some realistic ways that I can do this?
I would say, first of all, if you don't make the time, you'll never get to do it. And so the first thing I would say is, and it doesn't have to be long. It has to be a connection. Now, somebody say, well, you just said something about quantity time. Those times will come. Maybe those will be on the weekend, or maybe that'll be at 11:30 and you're tired. It doesn't matter. He wants to talk. You better make sure you talk to him because he needs you. But I would just say regularly, I would tell my son, I'm stopping. Let's stop. I have a 7-year-old, like I said, so it's not like he's got a lot of homework. And my 16-year-old does real well, so he doesn't have a lot of homework either. So I don't know if that's a help to those parents who have a kid that maybe struggles more. But the fact is, you've got to make time. You just got to make it. And by the way, it's not always the discipleship time. That might just be where we play on our knees, one-on-one, nerf hoop, or wrestle. Just do something together.
When you've got, what, 4 boys?
4 boys.
How did you do it? What were some ways you did it?
Again, we're not perfect, but I think for me, the biggest – some people live by a rigid versus flexible when it comes to any issue in the Christian life, this or any other area. And I lean towards a rigid, but with 5 children and a number of other things, I've had to become flexible. And so if the dad had to leave early in the morning, then I would say, you know what, we will be together during dinner or right after dinner before the homework. And like Pete said, sometimes it could be something brief. I know one thing, I've probably done a lot of things in a lot of different ways. We've tried a lot of things, but I do think that we have had prayer time together, I would say, the majority of all the days of my children's lives. And sometimes it's just I go in the room and I pray, you know, with the boys or with my daughter Elizabeth when we would do that. And we, you know,
when
I'm going to pray with them.
Usually?
It was at bedtime. And
that's what we do.
Even if we had our devotion time earlier,
yep,
then I would go into their room and just pray with them as a group one more time before they go to bed. And, you know, I still, you know, give them a goodnight kiss. And there have been a few times where it didn't take them long. By the time all 4 of them the boys are in bed, there may be 1 or 2 that fell asleep, but I still go ahead and pray with them. I still kiss them goodnight. And to me, they may not remember everything, but they will know that we consistently did that.
Well, men, thank you. This has been fascinating, and I know very, very much a help to my own life. I've got 2 little ones, and so I've been learning here and gleaning. And if you have been blessed by what you've heard, please let us know. Call or write or email us at the contact information given here at the end of the broadcast. And we certainly do covet your prayers and ask that you would continue to pray that the Lord would make it possible for us to continue to bring these broadcasts on a weekly basis as we have been doing. And to do that, we're going to need your prayers. We're also going to need your financial help. You can make your donation payable to Brookside Baptist Church or to the Word for Life radio broadcast. For any donation of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dr. Olala's devotional discipleship journal entitled Manna. And I know it'll be a great blessing to you. Thank you again for listening, and join us again next time for the Word for Life radio broadcast.